Hey guys, Pat Tivoli here with episode 8 of the PDF podcast. Flying through the episodes, hopefully you're enjoying them. We've got a lot of people listening, so thank you for all the support as always. I've got a guest on today, and it's something a little bit different. I've decided to bring on a guest who's a man that's been training with me for over a year now, and has had an unbelievable transformation, so I thought it would be kind of cool to speak to him about his transformation, his journey, and how he's done it all. So I'm joined by a man that a lot of people in Galway will know, Mr. Jonathan Byrne. John, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Pat, for having me on.
So, like I say, you'll see Byrne's transformation if you're in the nightclubs in Galway, or if you're on my Facebook page, you'll see his dramatic transformation aesthetically, and I think, you know, mentally as well. From speaking to him, he's had some big changes over the last year or so. Bruno, give us a bit of background as to, you know, where you started and what you were doing before you started training, I suppose.
To anyone that knows me will know that I'm involved in the nightclub and bar game in Galway, and as a DJ and as a designer and a promoter. And I led a very unhealthy existence for the last, so I would say, 10 to 12 years, surrounded by alcohol and takeaways and
young ones
and late night parties and all the rest. But in my kind of teen years and early 20s, I had been quite sporty and active. And then I suppose, as people say about Galway, you can kind of get stuck in a rut. I kind of fell into the trap of getting submerged in work and socialising and not having that third place, as Pat often says. And as a result, I piled on the pounds. I went from being an average of about, we'll say, 13 stone when I was about 22, 23. I bloated up to just a little bit under 17 stone November 2012. So it was round about then I decided I had to do something about it.
What was the turning point, or why did you kind of, you say you were a couple of years in this rut or working towards into this rut, what was the switch for you that kind of turned it around or gave you the first kick up the arse?
There was two things. One, a friend of mine was organising a charity white collar boxing event and asked me to take part. Horribly out of shape, horribly unfit. I agreed to do it, and my sister said, you better start working on your fitness, because it's one thing to do the boxing technique, but to actually get through 3 2-minute rounds, you need to be in relatively good shape. I wasn't. I got out of breath reaching for the remote control of the TV. So my sister Leona had started training with Pat at that time. And she asked you, and I'd known Pat from your days in college.
Yeah.
And you very kindly offered to take me on board. So that was one side of it. The other was, I've been pretty public about my views on keyboard warriors and social networks. I was the target of some pretty nasty tweets and Facebook stuff from some guys. So, you know what? I said, I'm going to prove a point. So I started training with you. I think I'd done a little bit on the diet side in November and over Christmas, and then started training in the middle of January 2013. Yeah. And I've been with you since.
What was the mindset when you're coming from that point where, you know, you're out of shape, as you've said, and kind of living the social life in a big way and not doing anything on the fitness side for so long, and then you come into a class environment, you know, a fitness environment. Are you nervous? Are you excited? Are you, you know, how are you feeling?
Well, I'll never forget it. I put it off and put it off and put it off for weeks and weeks and weeks. And my sister rang me on a Monday night. I'll never forget it. It was a horrible, wet Monday night. And I live in the Presentation Road area, and I was coming from the Dominic Street area. I was on the road, I was walking, and she rang me. And she said, if you don't go training tonight and start, she goes, this guy you're fighting is going to knock your head off. So I went to the first session, which is in Ballyban, in the Connacht Taekwondo gym over there. Arrived up, I was literally the Declan Moffat character from the Tommy Tiernan sketch. The sleeves tore off the t-shirts, tracksuit bottoms, the whole lot. And not quite sure what to expect. I walked in. 30 ridiculously energetic people.
Yeah.
And I won't say it was intimidating, but I had no intention of being there any longer than I needed to.
Yeah.
And it was torture. It was complete torture. And I think after the first one, I was like, so this is what I need to do. And I'm not going to let this beat me. And I'm not going to let what other people say about me. You know, I'm not going to quit. You know, everyone was expecting me to quit and not follow through and not do this and not win and the whole lot. And I said, no, I'm not going to do what people are expecting of me anymore, you know, or people are saying I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept with it and kept with it and kept with it. And piece by piece, you know, rep by rep, got one better. And I put it into my head that all I needed to do each time I did something was be one better than the last time.
Yeah, that's the one. That's we always talk about that, because sometimes people get bogged down looking at the big picture, and it's just a case of improving and moving forward every day. You know, you're going to either move forward or you're going to move backwards. You know, even a tiny step consistently.
And it for me, it was focus, and the whole last year has been about focus. And focusing on getting my fitness and getting my nutrition right has led to me focusing on getting my professional life together and my personal finances and everything else. There's been a knock-on effect into everything. And, I mean, I've enjoyed every second of it. A lot of it has been very hard work. And when you look back, you're kind of going, geez, I found that a lot tougher than what I find it now. But then again, you were a different person.
Yeah.
You know?
It's funny, you talk about the mindset of proving people wrong, or, you know, the haters or the people that have given you grief and kind of shoving it in their face that you're going to change and things like that. It's a matter of perception, isn't it, sometimes, how you perceive a situation. So you can use that as motivation, or you can beat yourself up about, you know, sometimes people get caught up in the past and they dwell on their failures and they dwell on what they've done in the past and they get stuck in that. And your past doesn't really define you. It's kind of drawn a line in the sand and saying, right, I'm making a change and I'm moving forward. And, you know, fuck anyone who thinks I can't do it.
Yeah.
And yeah, just making a change and making a decision. It kind of starts with a decision, I think.
Yeah, well, I call it the push, you know, the push moment. I think Joss Whedon actually used it in the Avengers movie, where he's like, all they needed was the push. The push off the couch to do 5K, the push to change the way you eat on a daily basis, the push to, you know, to get more water in, you know, the push to actually use a gym membership that you paid good money for. It's whatever you can, wherever you can find that motivation, you know. And the first step is always the hardest. It really is. And I know it's a cliche, but getting your arse off the couch is the toughest part. And once you gain momentum,
there's no stopping.
There really isn't. No, there isn't.
Somebody asked to ask you, kind of at that starting point, was it a case of taking small steps? And you've kind of talked about that, taking small steps every day. Or did you really throw yourself in the deep end? Or where was the transition there? Or how did the lifestyle change look from an outside perspective? Was it gradual, or was it all in one go?
The guys that work with me in the nightclub are always joking whenever it comes to a management point of view, or I'm talking about something. I always go back to, I use a football analogy, but it really was a game of two halves. The first 3 months was very slow. It was crawling, baby steps. And from June on, was completely different. A different game, a different ball game. I suppose the first half of the year was concentrating on getting fit for the white collar boxing. And then I drifted for about 2 months. And coming into the summer months, when I had a little bit more free time, when college was out and stuff like that, we started what we call in PDF the boys club. In July, and that was just a ramp up to another level, where we did a lot of free weights and we did a lot of of I suppose more intense sessions rather than the boot camp based classes and things like that. But the first 4 or 5 months was baby steps. But you know, being a guy, there was a point where you kind of felt like, okay, I'm a man. There's got girls in their early 20s here that are in way better shape than I am. It's not a sexist thing, but you feel a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? You don't feel as masculine as you should, as you should do. And you're like, wow, I got it on my game. I'm letting myself really get out of shape, blah, blah, blah. And then to get to that level where you can actually deadlift and you can actually box squat and do all that, you know, that's another a string to your bow, you know.
I think we do the fitness camp primarily for people starting off, just because you see a lot of guys in the gym lifting weights and they've no business lifting weights because they can't handle their own body weight and they can't handle, you know, basic conditioning. So we start there, but definitely it's something men and women should be moving toward, is the strength training side of things. Let me see, someone was kind of asking about staying motivated, Bruno, so you're looking at that there again. What were the points that, or what were the goals you set for yourself going along?
Initially, it was weight loss. I was perfectly happy being at the weight I started, which was 17 stone, 107 kilos-ish. I was perfectly happy, as I'm perfectly happy now, as I said to Pat, when a couple of weeks into Boys Club, where I actually noticed some serious changes in my own body and everything, and I said, but I was, again, perfectly happy there. Some people really stress out over weight loss, things like that. From a motivation point of view, I was like my own little science experiment. Once you see the initial changes, you're like, I want to see where this is going to go. I want to see how far I can push my own body and my own mind to get to a specific place. And for a lot of what we were doing, it was, I would set goals and I would go out and find events and find things that I wanted to do and I wanted to finish and I wanted to take part in.
It's got looking at different forms of motivation. So you've got these challenges you set for yourself, you've got people you want to prove wrong, you've got yourself that you want to show yourself what you're capable of and show yourself that you're better than, you know, you're capable of more than you're showing yourself at the moment.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's always that kind of like the carrot in front of the donkey thing to drive you on.
Yeah.
We took part in Tough Mudder in August in Edinburgh, 19 from Pat Dibley Fitness here. Went over, and you know, we trained to the absolute limit of what we could do and time would allow to take part in that, and that was fantastic, and that was
next motivation. Level again, wasn't it?
Yeah. We did Spartan Race, we're now looking at Hell and Back, so a lot of those adventure racing things, it's not just running, there's a lot of that. And you know, the other thing as well, I suppose, and it is a vanity thing, is that when people start telling you how well you look, you don't want to lose that.
Sure.
You know, particularly when you haven't been able to look yourself in the eye in the mirror for a long, long time. It's a horrible way to be, but, you know, I hold my hands up. It was my own fault. I had a great time.
Mm.
You know, a diet of beer and pizza and burritos and late nights and sleeping all day. Had brought me there, and I had a really good time. But you know, like I'm 35, so I am I'm middle aged. And it's, you know, as you got to protect the temple, as Tom Hanks famously said, you know, you got to maintain the temple, and you got to keep yourself in good nick. And I was at a wedding during the summer where I was listening to guys who weren't that much older than me talking about their proctologists and cardiologists and, you know, different things that were
it's something people will use age as an excuse, and younger use age as an excuse as to why they're getting sick or why they're developing disease and these kind of things. The reality is, I think people are just not taking care of themselves, and your body can put up with that for a few years and put on a few pounds and whatever else, but eventually your body's going to say, I can't take any more of this, and that's where disease strikes in. You see a lot of old guys that are staying active and are eating well and are free from disease. So it's all a case of, I think, accumulation of just beating your body up for years, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's none of us immortal, you know, and you want to be approaching middle age with a bit of dignity and you know, be as strong as possible.
Bernie, you talk about those two phases. So your first phase is, right, I'm doing the white collar fight, I want to get fit, I want to go into this feeling confident. You know, you're always going to be a bit nervous with a white collar, but you want to be as prepared as possible. So that's the first phase. Then you come and you kind of step the training up a bit, and you look at the nutrition, getting the nutrition right.
Mm-hmm.
What were the changes you saw, I suppose, mentally, physically, aesthetically, when you did switch up your diet?
When I started initially, the excuse was, I'm going to do this white collar thing and this will drag my sorry arse, you know, into a position where I can lose some weight, and I won't be what I refer to as a fat bastard anymore. And, you know, I when I was training, in my mind I was like, I just want to last the three rounds of this fight. And then you get to the stage where you start to notice that you're able to do your 10 burpees, you're able to do your 20 push-ups without dropping to your knees, and you're able to plank for 30 seconds, and you're able to do a lot of stuff that seems pretty basic to me now. But, you know, each one of those was a challenge. But yeah, I mean, the last year was literally in two halves. So from my own point of view, I had to plan a lot more. And if I knew I was going to be training at 8 o'clock, for example, I was a terrible person for not saying no to people. So someone would ring me and ask me to do something work-wise, and I would drop everything and do it there and then. And I'd end up working 20 hours a day.
Hmm.
The same thing with food. Knowing that I had to eat at 9 o'clock in the morning, and knowing that I had to eat at, let's say, 2 o'clock, and I had to eat at 4 o'clock, and I had to eat, you know, at these specific times in order to get all the nutrition that I needed into my day. Knowing that, you know, okay, I'll drink half a litre of water now, and I'll have another half litre with my lunch, and, you know, all these little things that, you know, you start to put a structure onto your day, which I'm notorious for poor time management.
Yeah, me too.
But these things kind of created like a skeletal structure, which forced my work life into a more, I suppose, rigid entity as well. And, you know, through trial and error, I was able to figure out, you know, I know it's a cliche, but no two people are the same.
Mm.
Figure out what I could eat, you know, what I couldn't eat, what worked for me, what got results. On our program at the moment, or in our classes at the moment, people are being accountable for their daily nutrition with food diaries and taking pictures. And some people eat in a day what I would eat in one meal.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm looking at it going, geez, you know, you're not be hungry, but as you said,
different lifestyles, goals, yeah, and everything else. I think what's massively impressive is, I mean, you're working in a nightclub environment. That's got to be the most difficult environment, one of the most difficult environments to keep keep structure to your nutrition and stay off the beer and everything else. How do you prepare, or how do you structure your meals around working in a nightclub environment?
To be honest, for me, for years, I tried to work a normal day. That, you know, you would get up at a certain time, and you would have your breakfast or whatever, lunch or whatever at that time. And I was living in opposite land to everybody else. So, you know, 2 o'clock in the day would be my, 2 o'clock in the afternoon would be, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning to somebody else. If that makes sense. I had to change that. So I know when you were talking to Robbie on one of the earlier podcasts, he was on about, you know, the optimum time to get up in the morning.
Yeah.
So I had to find what the optimum time for me to get up was. So, I mean, even though I might get home from work at 3 a.m. or at 3:30, I still try and get up at somewhere between 8 and 9.
Yeah.
Get a good, healthy breakfast in, get hydrated.
Talk about your breakfast, Bernard, it's something else.
it's a bit of trial and error. I've experimented. I didn't have a breakfast for 10 years, realistically, you know. And if I did have a breakfast, it was a full Irish somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
These days, it is a bowl of porridge, flaxseed, some dark berries, some walnuts, almonds, some mixed seeds with almond milk. Then 3 eggs, half an avocado, some spinach, and some hot sauce. There used to be a chicken breast in there, but I've taken that out now, and I put that in at lunch. I have 2 chicken breasts or 2 turkey breasts at lunch now.
It's impressive.
Yeah, and a litre of water. Again, through trial and error, I kind of ramp down every day. So I start, you know, that old saying about, you know, breakfast like a king, lunch like a queen. That works for me. I also do just a little bit of, like, I suppose 5 days a week I would do kind of intermittent fast. So from like 6:30 in the evening, I'd be shut off until 8:30 or 9 in the morning. And that's where I saw ridiculous results in terms of leaning out.
Mm. You've gone from 17, what's the weight loss been?
I was hovering in around a 17 stone at my heaviest, which was, I think, September last year. I'm 12.3, 12.4 now, stone. I'm 77.4 kilos, something like that.
So you've got your body fat's down around 10%.
I'm not quite. I think I'm 12 something.
Yeah, like
that.
So yep. big change. Do you adjust the food then? I know you're training most days, but non-training days you wouldn't be eating as much probably, or how do you do that? Do you?
It's a little bit of carb cycling. I wouldn't have as many carbs on off days. You know, a friend of ours, Liam O'Neill, put up a Facebook status once upon a time, and he's like, sometimes the body just needs oats. I love oaty things, but I knock the porridge out on off days.
Okay.
And I would probably half the amount of carbs I would have at lunch. So I would probably have like half a sweet potato or, you know, maybe about 50 grams of rice or something like that, you know.
I know, like myself, you're kind of running around Galway doing bits and bobs all day and all week, and we both self-admittedly not the best for time management. So you're probably eating on the go a lot. Do you pre-prepare your meals, or how do you, someone was asking, kind of eating on the go in Galway, what's the healthy options there?
There are a few. There are a few. Most of them are good. Our good friend Jill Carroll over in 37 West very kindly lets me chop and change a lot of their menu to put back together to suit myself.
Yeah.
That's
something I was saying. I worked in Fat Freddy's before I was doing the fitness thing, and people aren't afraid to ask, you know, for variations on salads or to take this out or put this in or whatever else. Don't be shy asking the waiter, you know, to change things around a little bit for you. It doesn't have to be like it is on the menu. Sometimes people are nervous to ask, I think, you know, to have things with sauce on the side and everything else. They've heard crazier suggestions, I'm sure, than what you're going to ask for, so.
Yeah, and when I do, like, I am not the best cook in the world. In fact, I used to be one of the worst. One of the best investments anyone can make is in a George Foreman grill, with no endorsements, but
Gotta get paid.
Gotta get paid. I generally would get like I get through about 15 chicken fillets a week, something like that.
Okay.
That's a lot of chicken, but I do switch it up with turkey and with whitefish. And
a few is just, again, kind of being busy. You just need to have something that's practical and something that fits your lifestyle.
Yeah, so I kind of, a lot of fillets. I would cook probably three or four together, throw them in the fridge. The same with veg, the same with a little bit of spinach and rice and things like that. And then I always have something cooked ready to go in the fridge, so I can just bung it into a little lunchbox, reheat it, and I'm good to go. So I'm normally dashing to places and from places. So there are plenty of eateries in town that you can kind of chop and change.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is don't be afraid to ask. Asking is for free. So don't be afraid to say, can I get this, but I don't want the potato, and I don't want this, that, and the other. And, you know, they can say no, you can't change it around. But I think in this day and age of people being far more health conscious.
Yeah. You have lots of gluten-free options there.
Yeah, and restaurants are a bit more considerate that way, and chefs and waiting staff are a bit more considerate that way. But I do try to prepare as many of my own meals as I can.
And that's something I'm sure was a pain in the ass when you started, but just becomes a routine as you go and you become more efficient at getting the meals ready and everything else.
I was saying to my flatmate Graham last night, it's not often you'd see a house with three single guys where the actual fridge is full. 12 months previous, there might have been a pint of milk that was gone off for about 3 weeks in there.
A few empty pizza boxes on the floor.
Pizza boxes on the floor and beer bottles everywhere. So it's been a drastic change, but I've enjoyed every second of it. You know?
This is kind of switching gears. Have you found people you would have spent a lot of time with a year ago? Have you changed your social circles much, or how has that been? Has there been people that have kind of, I suppose, been put off by your new lifestyle or by your the changes you've made?
They haven't been put off. No. I suppose it's a sad reflection on modern day Ireland. Through my own choice, my own social circle has gotten smaller. A lot of friends of mine have gone to other countries for work, for education, for marriage. some cases.
Ahead of us.
Yeah, good friend of mine, Gary Hawk. He's now happily married in the States. And my friend Tommy Cones and Barry Morley and Darren and Ciarán, all those guys, all moved to London for you know, employment opportunities. So my own social circle got small. You know, some people they get involved in sports clubs, you know, for an extra social end of things. We do have a nice little social thing going on here in PDF. There are other people, like, you know, the healthier and more food conscious and more fitness conscious that you do become, you go through this kind of, I suppose, like it's a pupil stage where, you know, it's like a guy who gives up cigarettes automatically becomes anti-smoking.
Yeah.
You don't want to come across that way to people, oh, I wouldn't eat that and I wouldn't do this, and but you do find yourself doing it.
Mm.
You kind of have to stop yourself because, you know, other people just, they, you know.
But I'm sure you've got people every day asking how have you done it, and you're more than happy to pay it forward and kind of give them some tips and stuff like that.
As I was saying to you earlier on, you know, information and education in the health and fitness field, there's so much out there.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's overwhelming, isn't it?
It's nice to be educated, but there's so much hearsay.
Yeah.
And I heard from this guy, you need to be doing this, and this is what you should be doing. And a lot of the time, it's absolute bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, stuff overheard in gyms and, you know, guys passing stuff down to each other. It's a lot of it's wrong, you know. There's lots of great resources out there. There's lots of guys on YouTube and lots of stuff on various boards and things that, you know, there's different opinions and this, that, and the other. But as I said, not everybody's the same. So, you know, it's nice to be informed, but there's a big difference between someone giving you information and actually being educated.
I think consistency is a big part of it, in the sense, even a guy in a bad program, if he's training consistently and he's eating consistently, he's going to do all right, you know, compared to a guy who gets the best program in the world, does it once or twice and then falls off the wagon. So, you know, it's great to get the good information. There is a lot of information out there, but consistency with the information you get and actually taking action, which is what you did. I mean, you know, a lot of people get the nutritional advice and they know what they should be eating, but they don't take action on it. So what would you say to someone who's kind of in the position you found yourself in 18 months ago or 12 months ago, whenever it was? What's, you know, obviously take the first step, but, you know, what do you say, knowing that mentality that that person has, or coming from there?
I at the start, I didn't submerge myself in the healthy eating end of things as much as I should have. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of food brands and sources out there that give the perception that they're healthy and that they're good for you and everything. And I was still eating those March, April, May of this year. And it was only when we went hardcore on the diet, I suppose at the start of July, that I saw drastic changes. Now, whoa, this is, okay, I should have been doing this 6 months ago.
I am what I eat.
Yeah, and you literally are. And as you said, you know, something you eat today, it actually becomes part of your body. It becomes cells, it becomes fluid, it becomes bone, sinew, you know. But what I was an awful man for, like, the you know, the prepared meals, you know. So, you know, it's easy to, you can see them in supermarkets where you can, you know, you get your three courses for 15 quid and, you know, your side of veg and this, that, and the other. And, you know, I mean, it's all very convenient and everything, but there's a lot of salt and a lot of preservatives and a lot of nasty stuff that goes into these delicious carbs, as someone said to me once. And there's, you know, if I could turn back the clock, I would have gotten on the nutrition side of things and gotten that sorted earlier. Because in, you know, it made for harder work. You know, I had to work harder on the training and things.
Last one to finish. Having gone through this big change and completely changed your lifestyle, completely changed your body, I'm sure, you know, massively changing your mindset in general, having done Tough Mudder, done Spartan Race, all these things, I know when we did those races, we came back with this mentality that what's next, and, you know, if we can do that, what can we not do? As cheesy as that might sound, you really do get into that mindset when you keep raising the bar and keep raising the bar. What's next for you? 2014, what do you see yourself doing, or what's the goal? Have you got ideas where you want to go?
We are taking part in Hell and Back at the end of this month. But for me this year, we're getting more into the weight training and things. Want to improve deadlift. I want to improve bench. I want to continue feeling as healthy and strong as I am now. I actually have a hernia, which I need to get sorted at the minute. That's completely unrelated to anything we've done here. So
to do list.
It's on the to do list. I suppose I want to be going into my 36th year, being proud of what I've achieved over the last year, which I am, but I want to not look back, you know.
Yeah.
I never want to be in the position of not being able to look at myself in the mirror.
Yeah.
You know, and being, you know, kind of not happy with the way you look and not knowing where to start. And, you know, I like being able to help people out and give people advice on, you know, where they should start, and because I'm not that far removed from it, you know. And I think anybody that's even considering making a change to their lifestyle from a healthy point of view, don't even think about it. Just do it.
Just do something today.
Jump right in with the 2 feet.
Don't put off today what you can do.
Yeah, there are so many good people in the city of Galway and the west of Ireland and Ireland in general in the health and fitness industry, and you know, there's the world of support, and there's people that are on these programs already that will reach out to you and give you a hand up and everything. It's, you know, it gets to the stage where it actually becomes fun and it becomes enjoyable.
Funny you talk about going into your 36th year, you know, not being afraid to look in the mirror, not being afraid to do things, all these things. Everyone talks about YOLO, you only live once, and this kind of mentality. And to them, that means going out and getting hammered and, you know, doing whatever they want. And, you know, me and you are two poster boys for going out and having a beer at times. Yeah. But, you know, what's stopping you from going and doing an adventure race, or what's stopping you from changing your lifestyle, changing your environment, changing your habits, changing your life, basically? That's YOLO. You know, you're only here once. You might as well get after things you want to do, you know, and don't let other people influence your decisions. You know, you're living your life for yourself. You talk about these guys giving you grief, you know, or... Yeah.
Well, it wasn't grief, you know. I mean, in the social networking world and the anonymity of the keyboard warrior and this and that, but I heard a great expression. It's an old Kerry man said it one time, and he said, "You'll never be as young as you are now."
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, we have all the motivational stuff written on the walls here, but, you know, the time will never be just right, you know.
Just, yeah, do something. Do something today that's going to, you know, too many people wait for the perfect opportunity. And like we say, there's never going to be that, you know, there's never a perfect time to start a diet, because you're going to have a wedding to go to in a couple of weeks' time, and then you'll have another one and another. Yeah. Just do something today and adjust things as you go. And when you start something, doors start to open where you wouldn't have seen them before. So,
absolutely.
Bernard, thank you very much for coming on. I think it's going to inspire a lot of people. You know, if people send us in questions or anything specific to Berno's story, we'd be more than happy to sit down again and get a podcast recorded with specific questions. Anything to finish, Berno, you want to say? Or
No, just thanks to Pat. You've been a great support and a great help, and you know, you've let me sweat all over your floor here in Berno. But yeah, I mean, it's been a fantastic couple of months, and here's to the next 12.
Thanks, Bruno. So, as like we say, if you got a guy coming from 17 stone down to, you know, just over 12, working in a nightclub, you know, he there's 100 excuses Bruno could have used, but he just took action and got after it and started moving toward, you know, like he says, he didn't do everything overnight. He started making some changes, and he just put one foot in front of the other and kept doing that consistently, and that's what's brought him to this point. So hopefully that's inspired some people to you know, it's still early 2014. This could be the year that you turn your life around, and you know, you're a happier, healthier you by the end of the year, or, you know, a couple of months down the line. That's it. Episode 8. Hope you found it good and beneficial. We'll speak to you all soon with episode 9. Thanks for listening.